It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day to be neighbors. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to live in a neighborhood just like this. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor. You know, growing up, one of the best parts of my day was spent with my neighbor. And not the neighbor that lived next door, though he was great. The best part of my day was spent with my television neighbor. I, like decades worth of children, thought I was the only person Mr. Rogers was talking to when he would look right into that camera and say, hello. He was talking to me. I have always, always treasured the memories of his show, just like so many of us. The things that I learned, the places that we went, the lessons that he shared. I swear Mr. Rogers always seemed to answer questions I didn't even know I had. I mean, I remember watching crayons get made. One of my absolute favorite field trips. I remember the day the goldfish died, and we talked about what it is to feel sad. I remember that trolley to the land of make-believe. You know, I also remember the day Mr. Rogers died. I was in college, and I was sitting at work when I got a text message from my mom. She knew it would really, really shake me. I remember pulling up and watching old episodes and reflecting on how many millions upon millions of children were blessed by that neighbor. You know, I always wanted to be like Mr. Rogers, and you know, in a couple key ways, I am. Did you know that Mr. Rogers was actually the Reverend Fred Rogers? He was an ordained Presbyterian minister, and his TV show was his appointment. That's where he served. You know, Fred Rogers and I share our love for ministry. We share our love for ministry for all people, right where they are, right as they are. You know, Mr. Rogers lived out those words of St. Francis to preach the gospel at all times, use words only if necessary. Because in everything he did, Fred was sharing the gospel. So I thought it only appropriate that we might have his help in understanding the gospel message for us today. Let's share a story. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, the man asked Jesus, but who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to that place and saw the man, passed by on the other side of the road. But a Samaritan who was traveling came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, and having poured oil and wine on them, he then put them on his own animal, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of this man, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the man said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Who is my neighbor? The question is asked, and Jesus asks us to hop on this little trolley to the land of make-believe by telling us a story so we might engage it more fully. Because Jesus knew the power of a story to teach. Now, there is so much context we could dive into here, the sheer hatred and mutual despising between the Jews and the Samaritans. Like the fact that Jews were willing to walk 2 days out of their way to avoid even walking through the land of Samaria. We could dig into the realities that kept the first two men from helping, how the priest and the Levite risked being ritually unclean for a week, preventing them from serving in the temple and being present amongst their community, and how they didn't know if they should risk that. Or we could talk about how robbers in this time would often leave someone on the edge of the road to draw in helpful, unsuspecting victims who they then would assault, so that often it was actually more of a trick than a need. But these realities, though they're very important, are not the crux of this story for me. Let's start with the question that was asked. Who is my neighbor? The thing here is this is a bad question. Who is my neighbor is an us and them question. I mean, everybody knew the rule to love God and neighbor, but in a world that was less and less defined, with boundaries blurring and social interactions growing and heritage being ignored, the clear identities that helped identify us and them were disappearing. I mean, obviously your family and the people who lived immediately near you were your neighbors, but what about everyone else? What about them? This is an us and them question. And we can ask far too many us and them questions. In fact, too often they turn into us versus them conversations. For some reason, we try to determine who we are and what we're worth by identifying clearly what we are not. And that seems silly to me, because this leaves us isolated and at the same time very dependent. We try to remove ourselves from them, and yet we need them to know who we are. But this is what they wanted Jesus to answer. Jesus, who is us and who is them? But Jesus didn't answer that question. Jesus wouldn't answer that question. Instead, he answered a question they didn't even know they had. Instead of an us versus them question, Jesus turned this into a you and me question. In typical Jesus fashion, he never answers the man's question that was directly asked of him. He did not define who is or is not this man's neighbor. But the story isn't about who is my neighbor. The story Jesus tells of the Good Samaritan is a story that asks us, what kind of neighbor will you and I be? In a way, it reframes the entire question from who is my neighbor to what makes my neighbor who they are. This is a you and me story because you and me are the only things that you and I can do anything about. We should not concern ourselves with defining who we will treat how, but instead we shall decide who will we be. Will we be neighborly? I mean, for some of us, find out when the sold sign replaces the for sale sign next door, you don't get to choose your neighbors. So we're invited to choose the one thing we can do something about, what kind of neighbor we will be. You know, a big part of that comes from also knowing what makes our neighbors who they are. In the weeks to come, we here at Highlands United Methodist Church will be asking ourselves what we as a community want to do in the world. How will we live into God's dreams for us? Because God has dreams for all of us, individually and as a community. And as we begin to ask ourselves that question of what is God dreaming for us and how will we be active in the world around us, the Urban Academy team has asked us, in fact, the Urban Academy team is inviting us to get to know the people in our neighborhood, to get to know our neighbors and our neighborhood in a new way, and to learn what makes them who they are. You are being invited to simply take a walk and keep your eyes open. And then you're invited to repeat that walk a few times. We're asking people to walk in pairs on the same route at the same time for 6 weeks in a row. So maybe your time is Tuesday afternoon at 3 with a friend, and you do that. Now you can sign up with a friend, or perhaps you want to sign up and we'll pair you with someone, and that way we can go out together. The thing is, we'll meet together after our walks, and we're going to talk with each other about what we saw while we were walking. Please note, there will be no handing things out. There will be no ringing of doorbells. just enjoying the chance to walk through our neighborhood and see what we see. The idea is that we might come to notice things that invite us to live into God's dreams for us in this neighborhood. And we do it a few times in a row for a reason. I mean, the first time you walk by a house in disrepair, it may not seem like much. But on a second or a third walk by, perhaps you notice the owner. And maybe they aren't able to care for the home by themselves anymore. That helps us know our neighbors. It helps us know how to be good neighbors. Or maybe the first time you walk down the street, you see a bunch of kids. But on the third and the fourth and the fifth walk, you realize you're seeing a lot of the same kids over and over and over because they always seem to be there. Perhaps it's because they need a place to be, or they need someone to do things with them. I mean, there really is no limit to the things we might come to know about our community, about our neighborhoods. This is a chance to develop a deeper, intentional relationship with the community around us. This is how we can live into Jesus' invitation to be neighborly, by being aware of the neighborhood we're a part of. You know, Mr. Rogers based his entire show around a very simple principle. We are all created and loved by God. And the Reverend Fred Rogers based his whole show on this fact because Jesus based his whole life on that fact. The stories of Jesus are stories of how God wants us to know that we are loved so that we can love others. Being created by God is the only thing that should ever determine who we are and what we're worth. It's also the only thing that should ever determine who anyone is and what they are worth. And once we realize that, once we realize that we are valued and loved exactly as we are, if we truly believe that, it changes how we relate to others. It changes how we see our neighbors. It changes how we relate to our neighborhood. To quote the wisdom of one of Mr. Rogers' favorite stories, if someone really knows who they are, really knows, then they don't need to hate anymore. You see, once we're settled on who we are, it takes care of the us and them questions, because then it's about you and me and who we will be in this world. Be the neighbor. Let everything else fall into place, because that's all we have, right here and right now. No one else, nowhere else, but the world that we're in. Towards the end of his career, Fred Rogers was once asked, if you had one final broadcast, one final opportunity to address your television neighbors, and you could tell them the single most important lesson of your life, what would you say to them? He answered, I would want those who were listening somehow to know that they had unique value, that there isn't anybody in the whole world exactly like them. There never has been, and there never will be. And that they are loved by the person who created them in a unique way. If they could know that and really know it, and if they could have that behind their eyes, they could look with those eyes on their neighborhood and realize, my neighbor has unique value too. There's never been anybody in the whole world like my neighbor, and there never will be. If they could value that person, if they could love that person in ways that we know the eternal loves us, then I would be very grateful. Amen.